story again and get started with that. Anybody notice anything new about the sanctuary? There's no clock back there. Okay, there's one over there. Anything else? More soundboards have been up, and so that will help us with our hearing, some in particular, and some of us as we move along. And so we appreciate all of that and things that people have done behind the scenes. I welcome Deb Donnan back, and I'm praying for you and for your family, Lord, and for others who have lost loved ones. So great to see you, and your sons and your daughter and grandkids and all of that. So welcome, everyone. Thank you for all that you have done behind the scenes. We have Surge. Our youth ministry is starting up again tonight. They're moving every other week. Be praying for them. And we continue to pray for our nation. At the end of our service today, we will pray for our nation in a nonpartisan way by God's grace. And so we will pray together. But I'd like to begin with one of the passages from today's message. One of the slides I think I put in incorrectly. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, not 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Lord's promise to David at the end of his life. This is at the halfway through verse 12, or verse 11. 2 Samuel 7, halfway through verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father. He will be my son. When he does wrong, I'll punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we bow before you, the King, because you, the King, decided to establish your King forever and ever. Lord, forgive us for following other kings, be that within or without. So, Lord, we come and we worship you this morning once again. We confess our sins to you, but grateful that you, the King, came and gave your life for the sheep. And so we ask you now by your Spirit to speak to us as you promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you for your prayers and care for us as my dad passed away. I love my dad. I really kind of put him on a pedestal, probably more than I should. And then as we moved along, I found out that he was human like the rest of us. But of course, now he's gone. And that hurts. And our dear friend Tom is gone. And others among us are gone. And it's so hard for us when those that we love and that we respect are gone. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's a respected leader that we have. Might have been a boss, might have been a coach, you know, might have been a teammate, might have been a spouse, might have been a leader in the community or of our nation. And however you feel, I'm trying really hard to be nonpartisan this morning, however you feel about Donald Trump or not, Donald Trump, it looks like he will be gone. And another will take his place, and he'll rule for probably 4 years or so, and then another, and another, and another. But we put our trust in these human leaders, and it's hard for us when they are gone. And how we feel about human leaders, it seems, is linked to how we felt about maybe our growing up leaders. And so I had a dad that was well respected, and I've struggled through the years to put too much trust in human leaders. I trust everybody, and I'm learning that ain't the way it is. Others have a hard time because maybe who they grew up with or had an experience with in childhood or maybe even into adulthood were not people that they could trust, not someone they could trust. And so some have a trouble trusting anyone. But we have a leader whom we can trust in our Lord. We see that in Old Testament times that they struggled even then to trust, even when a leader they knew was passing on. And so Samuel, you know, had his days with King Saul. Samuel grew up, it seemed like he had good parents, but then he was raised in the temple, in the tabernacle, which probably was a mixed kind of an environment. And then as he became priest and judge of Israel, the last judge of Israel, then God's people started saying, hey, we don't like this thing where we don't have a king. We want a king. We don't like just following the Lord. We want a human leader in whom we can put our trust and give us confidence, and we can be like all the other nations around us. And Samuel thought, man, that doesn't sound good to me. But finally the Lord said, okay, we'll answer their desires and answer their prayers. And they went out and they found this tall, dark, and handsome man named Saul. Looked like all of the kings around, who had a good beginning. He had a good attitude of trusting the Lord at the beginning. But then as he moved along, then he started moving away from the Lord. He started following himself, and he started doing things for himself and even disobeying the Lord. And yet Samuel continued to hold on to him. He's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's still praying for that boy. And the Lord said, uh-uh. There's another boy out in the field taking care of his sheep. And his name is Samuel. And so I want you to let Saul go. Let him go. I've rejected him as king, and I've chosen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem, that sheep capital of the world, to be king. And he's got a heart for me, a good heart for me, that Saul doesn't have. So Samuel went out into Bethlehem, and he went to Jesse's house, and he said, Jesse, I got something I want to talk to you about. Can you gather your family? Get your sons here. And so they got him in the room, these tall, dark, and handsome young men. And Samuel says to the Lord, now which of these boys is the king? And he went to son number one and son number two, kept going around the room. And the Lord said, no, it's not that one, not that one. Now he got all the way around the room. And there's no king among them. And Samuel says, do you have any other boys? He said, yeah, we got the kid. The kid brother's out there in the field. He's out there watching the sheep. He's just a kid. You don't want anything with him. And Samuel said, well, I haven't heard from the Lord yet, so call him in. They called him in. And the Lord whispered in Samuel's ear and said, that's the one. That's the one, because he has a heart for me. And I care more about what's going on in the inside than what is going on the outside. And Samuel anointed him as king because of this heart that he had for God. And then the Lord gave him success in what he did. As would be written later on in the Psalms, he blessed the work of his hands. David went back out into the field and started to, he was watching the sheep. And the big boys, they went out to battle. They went off to fight the Philistines because the Philistines were the one group that hadn't been defeated yet. Nobody had been able to get rid of them. And they were on the good farmland. They were out toward the Mediterranean, the good land for farming. But Israel could just not take. And they were out there and they were coming against every day against the Philistines. And the Philistines would send their champion, and you know his name? Goliath. Goliath, who was taller than anybody else and a true giant in his day and in every day. And he would stand out there and he would defy the armies of the Lord. And David said, "Who is this guy?" They said, "Well, that's Goliath." He said, "Well, what's he talking about? Why is he making fun of God and of our armies?" He said, "Well, we don't have anybody that can take him. Nobody's that big." And David said, "Well, he's fighting, but he's making fun of the Lord. I'm a sheep farmer. I've been out there, and when a lion comes out against the sheep, I put a stone in my sling, and I say, 'God, help me. These are your sheep, not mine.' And I swing it around and around and around, and boom, the lion is gone. And we got lion for dinner." He said, "I'll take this guy on." And so David went out. He went against the enemy. Goliath yelled at him, called him a little runt. And David said, "You stop making fun of my God and of his army." And he put a rock in his sling, and swung it around and hit him right in the forehead, and Goliath hit the ground, and Goliath was defeated. And it was not just Goliath that was defeated, it was the Philistine army. They all ran for cover. And David then became a soldier in the Jewish army. And King Saul said, "Okay, David, you go out and you fight them." And David fought and he won and he fought and he won and he fought and he won. So that the townspeople started singing a song and saying, "Hey, David, David's won. David's hit his, David has killed his tens of thousands. Ah, Saul, he got 1,000. David, tens of thousands, 10 times what Saul is getting." And David, whatever he did, was successful. Because he had that good heart, and the Lord decided to bless him with success as his future ruler, filled him with his spirit. The Lord was with him. Excuse me. But then he demonstrated that he had a character to go with his heart. And so, Saul got angry with David and he was jealous of him and just said, "I'm going to get rid of this rival to my throne." And he started chasing David around the countryside. And David, one time he hid in a cave. And Saul was out looking for him with his troops. And Saul decided it was time for a potty break. And he decided to hit a cave. And he went into the same cave where David was. And David's men were whispering in his ear and said, "Get him, get him, get him. Now's your choice." And David said, "That's not up to me. That's up to the Lord. He is the true king. And he is the one who appointed Saul to be in charge." And David refused to kill his enemy, but he cut off a little slice of his robe. He felt bad about it afterwards, but he thought, "You know, I just got to get a little evidence that how close I was to the king and what I could have done." And so Saul left, went out, and started looking around for David. And David stood at the mouth of the cave and he said, King Saul, look what I got here. Look what I could have done to you. And King Saul said, "Oh, David, my son." He said, "You are a better man than I. And I know that you will one day be king." You see, David had a heart after the Lord. And David was blessed by God with success because the Lord was with him. But David had a character that went with that heart and with that success that was evident. That was the kind of heart that a true and a good king of Israel and of any nation was to have. And so then the Lord, in those verses that we read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, said, "David, I'm going to give you a dynasty. The day will never come when you or one of your descendants is not upon the throne. It'll always be a son of David who reigns from the day that you are installed forever and forever." And that came, that promise came on the day when David had marched into Jerusalem. Saul had lost his life in battle with his sons. And David had come into Jerusalem, which he had conquered. And he brought the Ark of the Covenant in, that box that displayed the presence of God that would eventually move into a temple which David's son would build. And David was so excited on that day, he danced to his own embarrassment, or at least what would normally be embarrassment of people. But he was so excited about the Lord and about the Lord's presence and about God's goodness to him that he danced and celebrated the presence of God in their nation and in their world, because it was just to be a display to all nations that all might know his God. And that was the day when the Lord said, "Okay, buddy, this is going to continue on. Saul failed me. Saul's heart was no good. But your heart, by my grace, was good. And so I'm giving you a dynasty that will last forever and forever and forever." But you know that that's not the way that David's story ends, is it? Because David messed up. David was a flawed human being. Not as flawed as Saul, but David, after this, after David got into Jerusalem, David would start looking around, and David got into trouble, and we will talk about that next week. So this promise wasn't given in the end because of David, though he participated in it because of his good heart. But the promise, like for us, was kept by grace because God said it would be that way. And so years later, in the town of David, unto us a child was born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will reign forever and forever and forever. And think how David was a picture of this one who was to come, but that this shepherd king who came was one that would be, that would fulfill the vision of God and the promise of God to perfection. Let's go back and let's think about how Jesus had that perfect heart. And so Jesus came and he left everything behind. Jesus was not just over a nation. Jesus was over the entire universe. He left it behind and he came and he became in the nature of a servant. He gave everything up, was born in a manger. And he followed the plan of God. He cooperated in this plan that he and the Father and the Spirit had put together all the way to the end. He came to die. And so that as he was on the cross. He said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." His heart was for the Father's will to give everything for the plan of God, to give everything for the sheep. He would give everything to fulfill, to give us the salvation that God had promised. And then he succeeded in ways that even David had not succeeded. David was a picture of what was to come, but when the Apostle Peter proclaimed Jesus on the day of Pentecost, he went back to the Psalms. He went back to Psalm 16, which said that you will not allow your Holy One to suffer corruption. You will not allow him to fail, but instead he will win and he will succeed and he will reign forever and ever. And Peter said, "That's this one who was crucified. That's this one who came in Bethlehem. That's this one who came in as David's son. That's this one who gave his life for the sheep. That's this one who was raised from the dead and then went to the Father's right hand when he ascended up there, and he conquered all of his enemies, and he will reign forever and ever. He is King of kings and he is Lord of lords." But when he was here, he showed us his character. Jesus came and he was tempted by the evil one in Matthew chapter 4. And he refused to give in to the greatest of spiritual enemies. And then he sat down and he talked about how to live in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about what a king's character is to be like, that truly is a benevolent king, that truly cares for his sheep, that truly displays the values of the Father. Because Jesus, as John said, was the exact image of the Father. And so he was the one that displayed all of these characteristics. And as he talked about them, and as he finished that talk in Matthew, the crowds looked around and they said, "Man, this man is different. He's consistent like nobody else with what he says. What he says is what he does. What he does is what he says." They were amazed at his authority. They were amazed at his character. And everyone was amazed at how he cared for the little people, how he confronted the big people. He cared for women. He cared for children. He cared for us, and he has for all of eternity. His character is perfect. It's stellar. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus will reign forever and ever. He did come in the name of David. He did come to continue that dynasty that seemed to go away for a while, but he came back. Mary and God's people had been praying for years and for years and for years. For 400 years, they hadn't had a king. And the angel said, "This son of yours will be the son of the Most High. He will have the throne of his father David." And as we get to the end of the scriptures, we see that he not only had the throne, he had the root. He was the root of David. He came from David. And he is the offspring of David. And he is that star, the bright morning star that shines in the darkness and that will be here forever and forever and forever. You see, he is the one that was talked about at the beginning, a perfect world that we messed up. And then he said, "We're going to use this one nation that will multiply like the stars and the sand on the sea through a man named Abraham." And they were delivered by Joseph and then by Moses, who taught them how to live on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. And they said, well, you know, we don't really like living that way. And the Lord said, okay, we're going to let you wander around for a while till we get a bunch that does want to live that way. And then they went through Joshua into Jericho. And the Lord declared on that day that all of the nations, through people like Rahab, would know him, would be drawn to their deliverer. And then he led them into the promised land. And they weren't so sure they wanted to follow the Lord there under the judges. But the Lord was gracious nevertheless, continued to draw all of the nations to himself as he did under Ruth. And eventually, our Lord Jesus would come and the nations would bow before him. And we bow before him and proclaim him to be king. We have lots of human kings. Some are good and some are not so good. Lots of leaders, but they come and they go. But our Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne and he will reign forever and ever. When we buried my dad a few weeks ago, on his tombstone, which he had put together for my mom, with the words "gone home," didn't know he would join her so quickly. Some of you know what that's like. And that's the way that it is for human beings. They all leave us. Loved ones, you know, represented in this room. And respected people in the church, our church leaders, and in the history of the church. And in our nation, some respected, some not so much. An awful lot of them somewhere in between. But they all leave us in one way or another. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus never leaves us. Jesus is always with us. Jesus will never, ever forsake us. And Jesus never loses his perfection. And Jesus is always on the throne. And he will reign forever and ever. You see, when Moses went up onto Sinai, out of the starting blocks, the Lord said, "You shall have no other God before me." And the problem is when we, or people that we follow, put other gods before him. The Lord said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. I will always reign, and I will push people out of the way, and I will make sure that it's evident that I am the one in charge. And sometimes you'll see what's going on, and sometimes you won't. So the Lord pushed Saul aside, and he brought David in. And then David messed up, and then Solomon came in, and there were no perfect ones in the nation of Israel. But eventually, that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, came, and he reigned on the throne of David. And he is the one that we bow before. You see, there's a problem. We all have this problem of following other gods, other shepherds. But there's really a couple of solutions to it. Number one is to stop taking human beings as seriously as we do. To stop trusting in them as much as we do. To take them all with a grain of salt. And that has to do with our political leaders, however we feel about what's going on in Washington right now. It has to do with our human leaders, church leaders. Has to do with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and bosses and coaches and military leaders and foreign leaders. Not to trust in them. We get to the place where we say, oh, if only this person was in charge. If only I was connected with this person, then everything would be wonderful. But we learn in this true story of David that while some are better than others, our ultimate trust must not be in human beings. But on the other hand, the other thing that we should do is to put more trust in Jesus, to take him more seriously, because Jesus will never, ever disappoint us. And Jesus will never, ever leave the throne. Jesus is one that we can always trust in. Jesus is one that we can always follow as a good model. And so as Jesus had that heart after God, which David gave us a little bit of a picture of, to ask the Lord to give us that kind of heart that's 110% running after him no matter what happens. And then as Jesus had that perfect character that reflected the character of his Father in heaven, to say, Lord, would you build that in me? Would you make me more and more like your Son so that I'm consistent in what I say and what I do, and so that I'm becoming more and more like Jesus, that I'm going uphill spiritually even as I'm going downhill physically, as Paul said. May I become more and more like him in character as I follow him from day to day. And then, Lord, would you bless the work of my hands? Lord, may I succeed, as it says in Psalm 1, in the big picture of life. It may not be rich and famous, but Lord, may I be successful in your eyes because I've followed you with all of my heart and all of my soul. And then, Lord, would you give me the joy of reigning with you in this life? It may, whatever little square of the earth you've made me in charge of, Lord, may we give a preview of that perfect reign of Christ so that we rule our little territories with joy, with gladness, with the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ, ruling and living as people with love in a way that our world so needs to see. Let's welcome Christ into our hearts this morning. We're going to sing another Christmas song. I just thought, hey, you know, we missed some of our songs together. Let's sing another song or two. This one probably not as familiar again. Invites us